You're the one that started it, so you should have known. You're in the left box.
Should have. Yeah, should have. Hey, guess what?
Fair. Welcome to Atomic Geekdom. My name is Dave. Joining me, as always, is Kyle. That's how it's actually done. I think you would have known that by now. Only done 100 of these. At minimum.
At minimum.
I am low energy today and low giving fucks, so this is going to be a tough episode to get through, so... I will do my best to be cheery and bubbly and not as dickish, but I am in a bad mood. So, but we can't hold off anymore. When you do this podcast, it has to get out because it's already, I would assume, in my opinion, late. But for those of you that have seen The Batman already, you don't have to worry. We are going to be spoiler heavy later when we talk about The Batman, so just be aware of that. But if you've seen it already and you want to get our review, or if you want to get two other people's, well, one other person's review, Justin from Two Broke Geeks and myself wrote a Four Eyes review on the website, AtomicGeekdom.com. You can go there and check that out. Also, there's the Nicolas Cage thing on the website, and then also the MCU retrospective that's being posted semi-weekly, something like that. So something for everybody over there at AtomicGeekdom.com. Otherwise, you can just subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your fine podcasts. Or you can subscribe on YouTube, follow us on Twitch, follow us on Facebook, and you can know when we go live and you can join the podcast live. lots of news to get into. Most of it is WBDC related. In particular, there's some Peacock Paramount stuff. I'm not really going to get too far into the Star Trek news because a trailer debuted. We've been waiting for that show for like 3 years now, it seems like. Mm-hmm. The Discovery spinoff about Pike and Enterprise, which debuts in like a week or two, I think, on Peacock. Although it was March. Well, nope. There you go. You gotta wait even longer, 2 more months to finally get to a show that was probably supposed to debut 2 seasons ago from Discovery.
Probably.
So there is that. Let's see. Do we just bury the note? We just go headlong into it. We're going to talk Obi-Wan Kenobi. The trailer released today, hours ago, mere hours ago. Before we get into the trailer, news was announced that there was details on a character from the show, Reva, they're Force sensitive Sith Inquisitor, but they're just calling him Inquisitors, I think. Described as ruthlessly ambitious in search of Jedi in hiding. Shares a common dark side goal with Darth Vader and the Grand Inquisitor, who I still, even with the trailer, I'm not clear if it's Jason Isaacs or not. I don't believe it is.
It doesn't look like him. I mean, it doesn't even sound like him.
No. This character is also described as all heart, which means there's potential. And I kind of got it from the trailer myself that there's some possibility for redemption there for that character. a lot of those details came out from an EW photo shoot that had a bunch of pictures and stuff that we got this morning as well.
Yep.
Obi-Wan Kenobi debuts on Disney Plus on May 25th, which is the 45th anniversary of Star Wars: A New Hope, otherwise known as just Star Wars back in the day. So we were expecting something today because it's Disney's shareholders type day, and so they were going to announce something. Some people thought we'd get trailers, show announcements. We didn't get nearly enough, I think, in my opinion, to make any shareholder excited for anything, but we did get one thing, and it was a trailer.
I know last year's shareholder meeting is when they announced everything, but I think that was a special circumstance for 2021 and COVID, and now seeing that everything is opening back up, kind of a little bit returning to normal, I think they're like, okay, that we're gonna go have everything behind closed doors again. But
sure,
this trailer was great. The music was awesome, a blend of Battle of Heroes and Duel of the Fates, and then no Kenobi lightsaber in the trailer, but on the EW magazine cover, he's holding it, young Luke.
Yeah, somebody said he looks just like Anakin. I'm like, what are you talking about? You can hardly see him. Other than the fact that he's being a mentally, he's being a dork, pretending he's flying like Anakin would pretend he's pod racing, like whatever. Sith Inquisitors, that was pretty dope. I was happy to see that. Someone also said they were surprised at how much of the Empire they're seeing. I'm like, I'm not. You should see a lot of the Empire. This is their heyday right here. Mm-hmm. They're fully in charge. You did get a look at Uncle Owen, him facing off with one of the Inquisitors, Reva, as it were. A new droid potentially working into the mix, on which side you don't know. The spinny Inquisitor lightsaber, the flat top Inquisitor guy that I remember seeing in a few things.
Yeah, I think that might have been Benedict Wong.
No, I don't know. Some green feathered bird things in a shootout. And then just no real speaking from Ewan McGregor, Obi-Wan, just a lot of hopeless staring.
Mm-hmm. And then Vader breathing in the background at the end.
Yeah, and then a special Disney Plus logo where the arch gets lightsabered in. So that's pretty special. So yeah, it's just an exciting couple minutes, you know, 60 plus seconds of teasing for something we'll have to wait 2 months for.
Yeah.
But the cast looks like this. We've talked about it before, but we'll say it again. Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan Kenobi, Hayden Christensen as Anakin / Darth Vader, Joel Edgerton as Owen Lars, Bonnie Spicy as Beru, White Sun Lars, Rupert Friend as the Grand Inquisitor, so there you go. The highest ranking Inquisitor of the Galactic Empire. Moses Ingram as Reva, the third sister. Sung Kang as the fifth brother. And Indira Varma as an Imperial officer who you saw in the trailer as well. All episodes will be written and directed by the same two people, Deborah Chow and Joby Harold. And additionally, Kumail Nanjiani, O'Shea Jackson Jr., and a couple other people. Matt Maya Erskine. Why is that name familiar?
Erskine is the Captain America one. That's why it sounds familiar.
Yeah, probably. Benny Safety. Softy. Oh, that's the meme about Uncut Gems. I inspired Benny Softy to write Uncut Gems. A young Luke Skywalker is also expected to appear. Guess what? He will. Probably in that one moment, and then we move on with our lives. Mm-hmm. A lot of people thought the story was going to take place about Obi-Wan saving a kidnapped young Leia. I mean, it still could be, but nothing in that trailer really led me to believe that.
Yeah.
Aside from him being on a graffiti filled cyberpunk type planet.
Yeah. And also, I mean, we're not spending the whole time on Tatooine, which I think would have been boring,
which is kind of what I just said.
Well, I mean, it's like, we got confirmation that it's not just on Tatooine anymore.
Right. Which is what I just said about the cyberpunk planet.
Yeah, I know.
Remember when I said that?
I know.
So there you go. Star Wars news. Rejoice. There you go. That's the last real confirmed date of anything that we have for the Star Wars universe. We don't know when we're getting Ahsoka. Probably not till the end of the year or beginning of next year is my guess. And Mandalorian probably will not be till October. If then. But that's really all we have as far as television shows and even movies. There's no movies really on the horizon. There's announced stuff, but nothing in production really. More geek news. Will Smith and Michael B. Jordan, two of my favorite actors. Will Smith, probably my favorite actor of all time, but they're finally going to be in a movie together, and it's a sequel to one of my favorite Will Smith movies, I Am Legend. So there you go. I'm excited.
Okay. So prequel.
No, sort of thing. Sequel. Straight up sequel.
Didn't Will Smith's character die at the end?
I don't know. I can't remember which was the uncut version and which one was the actual theatrical version. I can't remember which one is which anymore. It doesn't say anything about it being a prequel or a sequel.
Okay.
There's no director yet. It's just Akiva Goldsman is coming back to write it, who wrote the original. Smith's Westbrook Studios and Jordan's Outlier Society are production companies involved. So I know it's the original writer, so I'm sure it'll be at least cohesive.
That's good.
More Quantum Leap reboot news. We got confirmation of the main character earlier last week or this week. I don't remember when it was, to be perfectly honest. Raymond Lee was cast in the role to star in NBC's Quantum Leap reboot, which will air on NBC, but probably the pilot will air on NBC and probably go to Peacock after that, is what it sounds like. The character is Dr. Ben Song, I think is how it's pronounced, S-C-O-N-G. He's the spiritual successor of Dr. Sam Beckett, played by Scott Bakula, the original time traveler. Song is described as both a world-renowned physicist, but also a man of faith. The potential show takes place 30 years after Sam disappeared in the time machine he created, the Quantum Leap Accelerator. Song will initially be a member of the new team before eventually using the accelerator to go back to the past, stuck in the 80s with amnesia.
Oh.
But there's no mention about whether someone on his team can communicate with him in the form of a hologram like the late Dean Stockwell's Al. The latest news, though, however, came yesterday, I believe, yesterday, the day before, in that Ernie Hudson of Ghostbusters fame and Psych, he's done a lot of Psych show stuff. It's Ernie Hudson, you know who he is. He's Winston Zeddemore from Ghostbusters. He is cast to play a role in Quantum Leap. He will be Herbert Magic Williams, and I think anybody with a nickname is going to be the person that fills Al's shoes, because Al was his nickname. It's not his real name. Al Calavici.
Was anyone named Magic?
Sure. Yeah. So three decades, blah, blah, blah. Let's see. Hudson will play Magic Williams, a Vietnam vet and head of the time travel project at Quantum Leap. He will use his skills as a politician and an officer to keep the Pentagon at bay after Song disappears into the Leap Accelerator, but he expects answers from Ben and the rest of the team. Given Hudson's status as a leading character, the military experience of Magic, he could be filling the role of Al, played in earlier series, because Sam was stuck in the past. The only way Al could communicate with him was in the form of a hologram that only Sam could see and hear, which you get in the credits. I love the old school credits that tells you, that gives you all the all the story you need. But Sam doesn't know, will his next leap be the leap home? And then it goes into the music. Yeah, great, great music.
And let me tell you, it is not.
It's amazing. Bakula has had discussions with producers of the new Quantum Leap, but he is currently not involved with the pilot. So we just have to hope and pray that that happens. I did read somewhere else, too, that Hudson's character is actually going to be a character that Sam leapt into in the past.
Okay.
I kind of dig that idea a lot, actually.
Did that ever happen on the original show?
Was Ernie Hudson in an episode of Quantum Leap? Is that what you're saying?
Did Scott Bakula ever jump into Dean Stockwell and in a younger body?
Yes. Okay. Yep. Yeah, that was a huge story. Because it was before he left, and like before the last time we would see his wife or something like that. I can't remember exactly what it was. Yeah. Wow. Ernie Hudson played Cyborg in a Superpowers team cartoon.
Oh. He also played John Stewart. Or, not John Stewart. He played General Stewart on Arrow, which is Diggs' stepfather.
Right.
So there's,
which is why we found out the Stewart part of it.
Yep.
He did one episode of the 70s Incredible Hulk show.
Interesting.
One episode of the Dukes of Hazzard. an episode of Full House. Tales from the Crypt. He did not do an episode of Quantum Leap, but I thought he did. It wouldn't have surprised me. He only did two episodes of Psych. I feel like he was in one of the movies, probably. Maybe not. He was in the MacGyver reboot. as in a couple in one episode, it looks like.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, you know who he is. And yeah, so looking forward to that show. News keeps coming out, so that's pretty dope. Video game news as we enter our WB side of things here, which will pretty much be the rest of the news that I have until we go to the review. WB Montreal sets an October release for Gotham Knights. That's the video game with Robin, Nightwing, Red Hood, and Batgirl.
Assuming no more delays.
Right. October 25th is the prospective release date for that game, which they announced in 2020's DC's Fandome. And you can play it on PS4, 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X, and Windows PC. So go ahead and real quickly go beat Elden Ring and keep complaining about how hard it is. Speaking of the other Gotham Knights, and that's the TV show that'll be on the CW, not a spinoff of Batwoman, apparently. So casting news, there's actually two sets of casting news. Is this one? Let me see. There's one today and one Monday.
Yep.
Okay, so Monday. Excuse me. One of my favorite comic book characters who was only really created recently, and I think it was Snyder. A Snyder yep. creation. Both these characters were created by Snyder, but Harper Row is being played by Fallon Smythe. She's a blue-haired bisexual, also happens to be a gifted engineer. Streetwise, acerbic, excuse me, and often underestimated. Her tech skills enable her to fix just about anything, and she primarily wants to fix the broken lives of her and her brother Cullen, played by Tyler DeCharia, DeCaira. He's transgender, hiding from an abusive parent, tired of being polite and agreeable and ready to fight his own battles. Harper would eventually also become Bluebird, the superhero. Cullen's character is getting some tweaks from the comics. He's a male teen who was regularly bullied at school for being gay, so now he's transgender. So they kind of tweaked that a little bit. Gotham Knights picks up in the aftermath of Batman's murder, and Bruce Wayne's rebellious adopted son is the prime suspect. The rebellious adopted son would not be Damian.
No, it sounds maybe like Jason.
Maybe. Gotham Knights writing team is mostly people that came from Batwoman, but it is not a spinoff of that series. Whatever.
I don't even
know. The new
Arrowverse.
It's Berlanti, so who knows? Tis Berlanti. They also cast Carrie Kelly and Duella Dent.
Mm-hmm.
Carrie Kelly is the Dark Knight Robin of the future / past, I guess. I don't know what you want to call her at this point anymore. Frank Miller's Dark Knight Returns, she was the Robin. And then Duella Dent was like she was Joker's daughter. Let me just get into it here.
At least for the TV show, she's born in Arkham, and Harvey Two-Face just leaves her, and then she gets all cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Olivia Rose Keegan, Navia Robinson, and Oscar Morgan have booked leading roles on the show. Two of these actors are playing familiar characters. Keegan will play Duella, Duella Dent, debuted in the 70s under Joker's daughter alias, later claimed to be the daughter of Catwoman, Scarecrow, Riddler, Penguin, and Harvey Dent, hence the last name. The CW breakdown, which you just kind of mentioned, describes her as abrasive, unpredictable, and a little unhinged, but a survivor above everything else. Duella was born in Arkham and abandoned by her father, the most dangerous man in Gotham. Regardless, she forged herself into a brutal fighter and skilled thief. Robinson is playing Carrie Kelly, who also took the mantle of Robin and blah, blah, blah. This version of Carrie is fearless, idealistic, and plucky as hell. It successfully talked her way into becoming Batman's sidekick. If there's a burning building or a person in need, she's the first to rush in, just as long as she's home by curfew. What? Here we go. Morgan rounds out these new additions as Turner Hayes, a character created just for the show. Based on his description, it sounds like Turner is playing Bruce Wayne's adopted son in the pilot. After his biological After his biological parents were murdered, Turner is resilient and driven to live up to his billionaire adoptive father's name. He's also charming and soulful, but has never quite felt comfortable in this world of wealth and privilege. Sounds like Jason Todd. Yeah. I mean, sounds in the description there. Gotham Knights will have all of these characters team up after they get framed. All of them get framed for murder. Okay. So that's your Gotham Knights is Duella Dent, Robin, Turner Hayes, Harper Row, and her brother.
I don't think this series will last.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Good news coming out of the Batman's success is HBO Max officially ordered the Batman's Penguin spinoff to series. Mm-hmm. So Colin Farrell will be playing the character, and we'll be getting to know his gangster rise to fame within Gotham as the new mob boss. Really, there's a power vacuum as we leave things in the Batman. We'll talk about that in a series. Yeah, straight to series order, a spinoff of Kyle Bott's Rise to Power.
Okay.
Which is being developed under the working title of The Penguin, which why not? Another series was announced after the successful weekend of The Batman, and that is a series that takes place inside Arkham Asylum, which is a retooling of the previous spinoff that was going to be about the Gotham City PD. Mm-hmm. Now it's just these two. There you go. The world that Matt Reeves created for The Batman is one that warrants a deeper gaze through the eyes of Oswald Cobblepot, added Colin Farrell. Couldn't be more excited about continuing the exploration of Oz as he rises through the darkened ranks to become the Penguin. It'll be good to get him back on the streets of Gotham for a little madness and a little mayhem. There you go. Kind of looking here, just to continue telling stories. So I have to imagine this is not a prequel. I don't want a prequel. I want to see what's next. If I'm being honest. I do have one bit of Sony Marvel news, which is kind of a lot. They just keep casting people for this Kraven Hunter movie. Actor of the Many Saints from the Many Saints of Newark, Alessandro Nivoli, who I think he was one of the main characters. I don't know, I'm in the middle of watching it right now, actually, has joined Sony's Kraven the Hunter as the lead villain. Keep in mind, this is already a movie starring a lead villain. Kraven the Hunter is a bad guy.
And having another lead villain in the show.
With the Chameleon, right. I'm not wrong, right? Kraven the Hunter was a bad guy.
Kraven the Hunter, yeah. If I have a feeling they might make him out to be more like an anti-hero in this one.
Sure, why not?
But
anyway,
he's a villain.
This actor, Alessandro, is going to be playing Christopher Ab. Oh wait, no, hang on. Christopher Abbott is the actor's name. He played. I don't know. What am I talking about here? Yes, Christopher Abbott is cast as the Foreigner. He'll be the film's main villain, the Foreigner, one of Spider-Man's bigger adversaries in the comics.
No.
That's hyperbole there. I don't know who's this quote is from, but they're trying to make this movie sound a little more important than it is. within the Marvel Universe, the Foreigner is a high-end mercenary and assassin who was once married to Silver Sable, so there's an in for her. We can get introduced to her through this movie. He definitely presents himself as refined and debonair, but among Spider-Man villains, he's strictly C-list.
Yeah.
Additionally, the Foreigner has no powers of his own. Instead, he's in peak physical condition and extremely well-trained. Aaron Taylor Johnson, yes, Quicksilver, is going to portray Kraven. Additionally, Fred Hechinger is rumored to be playing Kraven's half-brother, Dmitry Smerdyakov, aka the Chameleon. Ariana DeBose is believed to be playing Kraven's lover, Calypso, and Russell Crowe is in the movie somehow. They don't say how or why. But this is all coming out in just under a year, January 13th. Set your clock by it. It's going to happen, people. Excuse me. Too much carbonated beverages. Blue Beetle movie casting news. Malegra Reyes has been cast to join the show. She's the sister of Jaime Reyes. Belisa Escobedo will play her. She is the character has previously been in the Teen Titans Judas Contract, voiced by Kari Wahlgren, in the Injustice 2 video game. This actress has been in Hulu's Sex Appeal and Quibi's Don't Look Deeper. Quibi, is that the thing? Anyway. Let's see. Other characters?
How long is it going to take? Oh, just a Quibi.
Bruna Marquezine will play Penny, Jaime's love interest, described as the female lead. It's not clear if she's directly based on the comic character, though it's possible she could be Penny Booker, the daughter of villain Major Disaster. Marquezine, who has acted since the age of 7, is mostly known for telenovelas. Finally, What We Do in the Shadows and Reacher actor Harvey Guillen will join the production in a secret role. He's only 5 years older than the previously mentioned actress, which makes it unlikely he'd play a Major Disaster to her Penny. And then Cobra Kai's Zolo Maraduena stars as Jaime Reyes, a teenager who bonds with an alien scarab that fuses to his spine and gives him powered armor. This film gets its theatrical release in August 18 of next year, maybe. And I say maybe because the WB, I mean, that is theatrical, not HBO. So
It was HBO Max, then they moved it
right
to theatrical.
All right, Blue Girl, Batgirl's getting ripped off. I'm just saying. From what I've seen from the set, too, as far as the Firefly pictures, man.
Yeah,
Who knows? You seen this casting?
Is that supposedly happening in 2023?
Batgirl is rumored to be end of this year.
That's a mistake. Said, it's probably going to get pushed.
I said rumored, but it is a different production. It's HBO production, not studios.
It is, but I mean, with who's in it and with what you're about to say, I could see it happening in 2023.
I don't know. Nobody in that movie is involved with any of these shows.
Really?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, but that doesn't make sense. See, the whole Captain Marvel or Shazam of it all doesn't make sense to me either with Black Adam. You're going to do two Captain... Anyway. All right. WB delays Black Adam, Flash, and Aquaman 2, and they bumped up not just Shazam, but the long-awaited DC's League of Super Pets. Everybody's just anxious for that cute, adorable movie where Keanu Reeves plays Superman.
Keanu Reeves plays Batman.
Batman, I'm sorry. Yeah. I forgot the name of the guy. The Rock plays Superman. Or the Superman's dog. One of the two. I freaking can't remember who plays what anymore, and I don't care. It does look cute. It does look funny, but at the same time, it's a kid's movie, so let's just take it for what it is. That's fine. They need to have these kinds of things. Because, I mean, I remember when, like, when Batman animated series came out and there were toys and stuff, and I was excited to get the toys. I don't know many kids that would be excited to get toys for the Batman. And Kevin Smith made a joke about it last night when I was watching his review of this movie, and it is true. Like, are you going to grab the Batman and just start beating up your other characters, other toys, saying, "I am vengeance, I am vengeance, my parents are dead"? Like, it's pretty grim. This Batman and previous Batman, I mean, Dark Knight's not much better, is not conducive with toy releases. I mean, they look cool. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to buy the Hot Toys Batman. It looks dope, dude. It looks so dope.
Nice. I can't fathom spending that much money.
You gotta do the layaway plan, man. It's like $50 per payment, but and then it softens the blow.
Yeah, I know.
I know, dude. Some of the Star Wars ones are like $200 now, and I'm just like, I'm gonna buy it. The Ahsoka one I want, and yeah, I made a whole wish list last night. I just went down a rabbit hole. I've only gotten one like high end toy from them, and that's been the Baby Groot. And it's life size Baby Groot. So
I would love a Hot Toys, but it's that price tag that it's just like, oh, you're expensive.
I mean, it's just getting worse because things like this, I gotta be able to see my camera, are now going up in price to like $24.99 per, yep, instead of $20 or instead of $19.99. I mean, I'll be honest, That is a good looking toy. Mm-hmm. And I do love the old school packaging, which is enormous compared to how they used to be. Scarlet West Coast Avengers.
Just wait for the Hawkeye one.
And then I got this from eBay.
Ooh, that's a that's a
little yellowed.
Yeah, but that's like my Kyle Katarin on the wall. That plastic is yellow from the sun.
Everything's yellow.
And we're all yellow.
Anyway. Yes, so dates now. Flash and Aquaman are not coming out this year, November, December, as previously expected. Instead, Aquaman will come out on March 17th of next year. Flash is moving all the way to June 23rd of next year. Meanwhile, Dwayne Johnson is still appearing in not one, but two big DC movies this year, but both of them arriving a few months late. Johnson's first go-around as Black Adam will now hit theaters October 21st, which I believe is when Flash was originally going to come out. Meanwhile, the film's original July 29th release date will be filled with DC League of Super Pets.
Ooh.
So, yeah. But then, the studio also confirmed that Shazam! Fury of the Gods is moving from my birthday next year to December 16th of this year, which was previously held by Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom.
Did they give a reason as to why these dates moved? I know James Wan posted on Instagram saying, you know, I'm glad for more time. It'll give me a lot more editing time. So, but the day
I'm guessing they're trying to fix some things. I'm hoping they're realizing that just making these movies one-offs are better than
maybe.
And having a shared universe just be mentioned and not seen so often is a better way of doing things. Like Matt Reeves said, if the Batman that he did was going to be set in a shared universe, he wasn't going to do it. And I get it. And there's enough characters and source material for the Batman to exist on his own world. But I mean, I think we've been confirmed now that this Batman movie is Earth 2. I think they're saying.
Yeah. Their version of Earth 2.
Right. All right, so that's it. That's the news I have. So I guess we set up the warnings here and dive headfirst into a review of The Batman. I would play the music if I didn't think it would get us kicked off of YouTube and Twitch right now, but the soundtrack is out there on Spotify. Mm-hmm. It's a good driving listen.
Yes.
It's just good all around. Let's just put it that way.
Speaking of music, I'm listening to Dolby's podcast with Matt Reeves and Michael. I'm going to butcher his last name.
Giacchino.
On sound mixing and music of the Batman. So it's pretty interesting too, because I guess Giacchino created the theme for the Batman well before Robert Pattinson got the role. So when they did the screen test for Pattinson, they played the theme for him then and there. I'm like, that's pretty cool.
That's cool. If I remember right, and we're getting a new Batman animated series that's kind of inspired by the movie, if I remember correctly.
It's inspired but not as set in the
right season. Yeah, but the same thing happened with the animated series originally. It was right. Inspired by but not set in the 89 version, and that theme music was kind of theater. I was very hesitant about the costume with the collar, and now honestly I don't think I would like it without it.
Yeah, no, the collar works for it.
I think the collar is dope. Really like the collar. I like this costume a lot. You didn't see it right away, but you would see it eventually of him taking off the batarang and using that, not really even as a batarang, but to cut things.
Yeah.
More than anything else. So, yes, The Batman, directed and written by Matt Reeves, who also wrote it with Peter Craig. Stars Robert Pattinson as the Caped Crusader alongside Zoe Kravitz as Selina Kyle slash Catwoman. Paul Dano as the Riddler. Jeffrey Wright as Commissioner Gordon. John Turturro as Carmine Falcone. Used finally in the right way, I think, in a movie. Carmine Falcone. Peter Sarsgaard, who I'm a big fan of as an actor. He got to be in this movie. I'm pretty excited for. Small role, but he's Gil Coulson. He's the current, or was the current, district attorney. Andy Serkis as Alfred Pennyworth. Colin Farrell as Oswald as Cobblepot slash the Penguin. And then Jamie Lawson plays Bella Real, a mayoral candidate for Gotham City. You got to see a lot of the PD corruption, and not just PD corruption, but the citywide corruption in this movie, which is what you need to see, because that's what really inspires Bruce to do this, is nobody can be trusted to help the city. And he only trusts Gordon. We don't see how, but there is a book that you can get that kind of shows parts of year one, and then also the backstory of a little bit of the Riddler as well. It's like a 200-page book. It's I might pick it up as an audiobook or something, but
yeah.
So you get a little backstory there. This is entering year three. I keep hearing people say it's year two, but he said I've had two nights of, or 2 years of nights. So we're entering year three. Mm-hmm. This, I would call it year three.
I would definitely call it year three. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can tell he's done. They're afraid of him. They don't know what to really think of him other than when that bat signal comes up and there's shadows and darkness around them. You're afraid.
Yeah. They're afraid of him, but there's some of the like thugs that don't know who he is, which after 2 years, you'd think that, I mean, everyone would know.
It's still rumor because there's no pictures of them. They don't know. All it is, you know, and these are tough guys who want to look good in front of their friends. They don't want to say they got beat up by one dude dressed as a bat, you know? So they probably over-exaggerate. Yeah, they're over-exaggerating things. And, but I mean, if you took on those six guys like you saw in the trailer, the amount of times that I saw Batman get shot in this movie was a little alarming of how many times he got shot. Mm-hmm. And how many times they didn't realize to finally just aim for the head. But at the same time, he does protect his face and head pretty well when he fights, but he's not super fast like the Flash or Superman. He's not going to be able to dodge a bullet. You fire at his head, he's going to get lucky sometimes and block him with his gauntlets, but not always. Mm-hmm. So that's just one of those logic flaws where I can look beyond it, because let's be real here, it's a comic book movie. And these are the stormtroopers of Gotham City. So their aim is not going to be great. They're basically just firing to get him away from them. Not even really trying to kill him. Just trying to get him to back off is, and, you know, my thing is they're just hoping to live, to survive, not getting punched in the face 700 times. So yeah, I loved that aspect of the shadows and then hearing the footsteps and then, and he comes out of the shadow, and like, I like the memes that are coming out of it, like on TikTok and stuff. I think those are pretty hilarious. There was one I saw, I didn't send it to you, or I might've sent it to you, with the husband and wife. They're like, you want to see the Batman? She's like, I don't know. Yes, they go and see it. And then after that, she's like dressed as Batman. And she's like, I found a clue. And it's just like, I don't even remember what it was. Like a gift, like a birthday card or something. What do you think it means?
It's a birthday.
There's some really funny stuff coming out of it. And then I like all of the people that are like making fun of the haters, like, oh, where do you got now, Marvel? Like, you can like both, guys. Mm-hmm. They're two different things. A Marvel movie and a Batman movie are not going to be the same. And then the people saying this movie doesn't have enough humor, or, you know, people saying that, yeah, Marvel fans think it doesn't have enough humor. There's plenty of humor there. You just gotta pay attention.
Thumb drive,
yeah. It's about the driest joke and dark, pretty dark. But yeah, it's in there. There's a lot of that stuff in there. Like, you can tell that it's the first time he disappeared on Gordon at one point. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just gone when he realizes that the bomb is at his house, probably. And he's just gone. He did it again. He did it like earlier in the, or to Selina, I think, or something. I don't know. Like, you can clearly tell it's like one of the first times he's done it to these people. And it's funny because we all know he does what he does. It's just that's his out. I enjoyed the car stalling when he's making this big show of how powerful his automobile is in the alley, and he's about ready to drive off, and then it stalls on him as if he didn't get the clutch down in time. You look confused.
I thought of it as more like a scare tactic. I didn't think of it as stalling.
Like, it was, I don't know. See, now we're doing what Mark Bernard and Kevin Smith did, because Kevin Smith thought that too. He thought it was like, really? what? Come at me, bro. Yeah. Like, he thought it was like that.
I mean, both times.
But me and Mark both took it as a mistake, which I'm fine with if it is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine either way, because if it was a mistake, it looks like it was like a jerk motion, being like, okay, I'm ready to go. But who knows? We'll ask the director one day.
Sure. One thing the director did make clear is that the governor's son or mayor's son is not going to be a Robin, which, God. Come on, people. He still has his mom.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bruce is not just going to adopt a kid that's got a mom still. But Reeves, I think Reeves and Pattinson both said if they do Robin, they have to do it the right way, and they have to do it as a 13-year-old. Now, the issue with that in cinema is what right mind are you going to let a 13-year-old go and fight crime with you in the city? But what leads me to believe that this could happen is, what was the comic book reason for bringing Robin in?
It was to make Batman not seem so dark, not seem so fearful.
To the people he's saving.
Mm-hmm. Which,
and that's what
saw at when he saved that guy from the face paint game.
In the sub, yeah, right. At the beginning of the movie, the first time you see him interact with criminals. Mm-hmm. He's, don't hurt me. And you're like, dude, he just saved your life. What do you mean hurt you?
Yeah.
And then you see it at the end when he talks about how it's changed him. And he's not vengeance. He needs to be something better. He's got to be a sign of hope. And that's where Robin fits into that as well, is you have this kid who's, you know, now he's going to bring a little bit of a different attitude to the proceedings. And he's going to comfort the people that are there, or they're going to be like, dude, get this kid away from him. Like, you know, but anyway, I felt that pretty strongly at the end of that movie.
It reminded me of New Frontier, where he's saving the girl from the cult, but then
right
when later on,
then he's like, what's with the kid? Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's perfect.
I felt that at the end, especially when he says, I need to become something more, you know, I got to become a sign of hope, not something they're afraid of. I felt that, man, when he's leading them out of the water.
Yeah, with the flare.
That was outstanding scene. Top-notch cinematography in this movie. Matt Reeves is outstanding. If you didn't like his work in Cloverfield, this is the man that did Cloverfield and needed the shaky cam and all that stuff. I don't know. I loved it.
Which I'm glad there really wasn't much shaky cam in this.
No.
There was a lot of track motion, especially with the wingsuit. That looked great. But
they wanted to do that hallway scene where it's like lit just by the gunfire.
Mm-hmm.
The fight scene, he imagined that being CG, but the stunt guy's like, no, we'll do it. And so they did that fight scene just lit by the muzzle flash. That's the final fight with Falcone, where Selena's up there, I think.
Mm-hmm. Which, now after what happened with Alec Baldwin, I'm weary of anything with muzzle flashes.
Well, yeah, you gotta know what you're doing. You gotta have some very careful set work.
Yeah, I'm not saying it was, again, Alec Baldwin's fault, but I'm just saying, right, like, anything's possible. I mean, Brandon Lee, that happened too, so.
And that wasn't muzzle flash, that was just a loaded round and a gun.
Yeah.
But yeah, something I, you know, outside of the movie that lends me to a lot of faith into the future of it that I didn't know going into it is just how much Robert Pattinson loves the source material.
Mm-hmm.
Just in all these interviews and stuff, like, they ask him all these questions, and like, him and Paul Dano seem to have loved the stuff that they were given to, like, research for this role. And like, Robert Pattinson's telling all of them, like, I think it was an interview with four of them, so I think it was Zoe Kravitz,
Paul Dano, and
Jeffrey Wright, and then he's like, yeah, you guys got to read Court of Owls. And like, there was a hint at it just on one of the cards. There was an owl on the card. Mm-hmm. I think that was really the only hint, other than talking about the Arkhams and the families of Gotham. I think that's another subtle Easter egg too. Other than that, there really wasn't much quarter owl stuff that I would hope for.
Yeah.
I got enough. I think that the owl, I think it wasn't an accident. I think it's just a small Easter egg, maybe just a nod. They could go that direction if they want to, but they're not necessarily bound to.
I could see the Court of Owls playing a big part in like the rebuilding of Gotham in the sequel if it ever gets greenlit.
Right. I do love the attitude right now of Matt Reeves though. Like, let's just focus on this one and hope we get a second one.
Yeah.
And then I saw Robert Pattinson go like hiding in screenings and then coming out and saying hello to everybody, saying, I hope you guys enjoyed it. Let's get a sequel, right? Let's get ourselves a sequel. I love that, man. He's out there seeing the movie. He must be very excited about this movie. I mean, I like that energy. I think it's cool. He's really made me a fan of his. Not that I had anything against him. I mean, he did some stupid Twilight movies, but that you got to work, you got to put money in your account. You got to, I mean, I can't blame him for poor writing. He's just in the movies.
From what I've heard, his indie stuff is really good.
Tenet. He's really good in Tenet.
Yeah. I guess Matt Reeves was disappointed that he took Tenet just because he's like, oh no, I need him to be Batman.
You didn't hear the casting story with that?
I think
he auditioned for Batman while filming Tenet.
Oh.
He told Christopher Nolan he had a family emergency, goes and auditions for Tenet, comes back, and Nolan's like, did you audition for the Batman? He's like, yeah. Like, how did you think I wouldn't find out? Yeah, I heard that when Tenet came out. I heard that. That was when they were interviewing Nolan and him a lot. But yeah. I don't know where do we go from talking about, like, what did you enjoy most? Like, what aspects of first of all, did you like it?
Yes.
Twice. How many times have you seen it? Twice.
Okay. I saw it back to back days. So definitely, I could tell you my second experience was better than the first. Seat wise, but we all know that. But yeah, no, the voiceover in the beginning and at the end was fantastic. I love
not
that.
Just the not just the voiceover, but how they justified it. Is he's this is an experiment. This is the Gotham experiment, the Batman, and he's keeping a journal of everything, and he's filming everything with his contacts. So that he can go back and look at things, like not just the detective side of things. He can review what he's done and how he's acted and how, you know, all these things. And he's writing this journal. And like you said, he's this voiceover narration, which you get in the comic books all the time. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's been done in the movies seldomly, but then they go away from it. Like it might be the beginning. Like maybe you hear Bruce or Ben. I feel like Ben Affleck did it in either BVS or Justice League.
No,
I can remember.
This is the first time that this voiceover like this.
They've never done it. Like bailed into it.
No,
like that. That doesn't surprise me. So there you go. That's why I loved it right away. Like
yeah, the Burton Schumacher films definitely didn't have it.
I knew they didn't do it. Yeah, I didn't. Yeah. But that's how the comics are written. You're written from, and that's also a reason why Robin was introduced, so he had someone to talk to. And so he's not just inner monologuing the hell out of the comic book. And so like, I thought that was fantastic. It worked so well. And you have to get a voice for that inner monologue. You have to maintain that voice. And which voice do you use? And for him right now in that story, Bruce Wayne doesn't exist. And for the people complaining about the lack of Bruce Wayne in this movie, you missed the point. He's just the bad. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I just wish he cut his hair a little bit.
I don't know. The emo look worked.
Yeah, it's just hard in that cowl to have all that hair. But no. Yeah, he's definitely Batman more than Bruce. Batman, Bruce Wayne is the secret, or is the costume.
Batman it doesn't make sense to him. There's no point for him to be the playboy Bruce Wayne. or to come up with that persona right now. Mm-hmm. Now it does. Now he needs to have Bruce Wayne be more part of the city after seeing what everything is. Seeing the guy, like, you know, I know you, that guy has to be Joe Chill, right?
Oh, that guy is definitely Joe Chill.
It's got to be Joe Chill.
The way he moved back and it got dark on his face. Yeah, no, that's Joe Chill.
Right. Joe Chill, for those that don't know, in the comic books, is the person that kills Bruce's parents. It's not the Joker. As the Joker might be. Right. Jack Napier from Tim Burton's Batman. Yes. Yes. So, and he was hired by a gangster to do it. Or was he? So yeah, go ahead, continue. Yeah, the narration is great, a nice touch, beginning and the end, and then you see him writing in the journal, and that's how they kind of explain the narration of it.
I've got some notes. The Batmobile. The coolest sounding Batmobile to date. I want it. The comedy that there was great. The thumb drive makes the movie.
Get some gallows humor there, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Pretty much every performance, the bleakness, going back to Arkham. Bloodhaven is mentioned. Just the way it was shot. Some of those shots are just beautiful. When Batman is on the rooftop of that abandoned building with the bat signal and he's just looking out. I know that was like, it looked like, I think, like DC's version of the volume.
I saw behind the scenes footage. They have that.
Yeah. So, and that looked great. Like you didn't even,
yeah.
If you didn't know, like thought they just shot it out in the open. The GCPD aiming a spotlight down at the criminals, so that they look up and see the bat signal, if intentional or not, worked great.
Yeah.
And then the stomping in the dark. For those footsteps,
right? Yeah, all of
Dano, John, Turturro,
very, very sneaky, sir.
He is Jesus.
What? He's not Jesus? From Mr. Deeds.
Is he not also Jesus?
I don't think so.
Big Lebowski.
Oh, okay. Like, what are you talking about?
Jesus, you know, the bull.
I am not I'm not a Lebowski guy. Go ahead.
And that's all for the good stuff, which is still a lot.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I'll see this again in the theaters. I might wait until it pops up on HBO Max, which they did say 45 days after the day of release, but that could all change. I mean, because we've seen with Spider-Man, it's taken till this month for them to release it to streaming.
So, who knows? Yeah. What? Yeah. So there you go. Yeah. Overall, this is not only my favorite Batman movie. This is going to be one of my favorite movies. It's inspired heavily by movies I love, like Seven and Zodiac. The aspect of the detective in there is great. I love when they get it wrong. And it's because Bruce trusted Alfred's translation of La Rata Tala or whatever. Yeah, he thought it was L and not La. And that came from Alfred. That didn't come from Bruce. That didn't come from anybody else. I did like that Alfred and Bruce are at odds with each other. They're not that close yet. And I feel like that's accurate. I feel like they wouldn't be. I don't think Alfred would want this for him, and it would have done it reluctantly. But also to protect Bruce, you know, I can teach you how to defend yourself since you're going to do it anyway. I might as well be part of it.
Yeah, that's a lot of Batman Earth One.
Yeah, it's not to say that they're going to get close. I mean, you could tell that relationship changed big time after Bruce learned the truth about his family and Alfred was in the hospital. Like, it kind of spun around on its head. Like, okay, Alfred's going to mean a lot more to him going forward, I think, than he had. He also realized how important Alfred was to his father with the cufflinks and you know, all these things. So I enjoyed that. I love the relationship between him and Gordon. I thought that was really well done. The scene where he has to pretend like he's angry at Batman and he's yelling at him and talking in this weird way and all these things was hilarious. And then he has to punch him in the face. I thought that was great.
You at least could have pulled your punch. I did.
Right. It's good. Every time the cops,
no humor.
Every time the cops would second guess Gordon bringing him in there, like he's contaminating evidence. He's wearing gloves. Like, and then, yeah, he like knew things that the cops didn't know and stuff. I did take exception last night when I watched a little bit. I didn't watch all of the Fat Man on Batman, or I guess it's Fat Man Beyond. They call this, they did it from the Star Wars cantina thing in LA. And they talked about him not being a good detective in the movie. That they Mark Bernardin made the comparison to this movie to Indiana Jones in Raiders, where that movie would have happened with or without Indiana Jones.
No, this movie would have happened. This movie still would have happened with Batman. What I think he's thinking of is if you take Joker out of The Dark Knight, you just have Batman with a mob movie.
Right.
I think my friend said it best. Let me see if I can.
So if I think along his line of thinking, right, if you take Batman out of this movie, what do you have? Well, one, you don't have the Riddler playing the games the way he's playing them, because the Riddler uses Batman in a way that he thinks is a partnership to bring the truth to light. I mean, you see how distraught he gets when it fails. Even though he succeeds.
Yeah, you take Heath out of The Dark Knight and you have a mediocre mob movie. You take the Riddler out of this and you still have a movie about Batman uncovering the truth of his heritage. Falcone was a bastard in this movie, not just a bad mob man like in Dark Knight. There is no character there. Just drive the plot forward and be a bad punchy bag for the Bat.
Yeah, without the Riddler in this movie, you have Batman going up against the mob. But in a better way than The Dark Knight, because you have a fleshed out Falcone who is actual murdering mobster running the city. Like, he actually runs Gotham.
Yeah.
He's got all of these puppets around him. The commissioner, the police chief. No, it was the commissioner who was Gordon's partner.
Yeah. And then there's the police chief who is apparently above him,
he wasn't part of the corruption. He was the guy that was blaming the death of the district attorney on Batman. And then you had the shady cop that got punched in the nose, who also worked at the Iceberg Lounge. The DA, who am I forgetting? Oh, the mayor. At the beginning.
The Riddler, which is great.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, there's a lot of jumps there. I feel like anything I see on TikTok where they're forcing that Marvel moment in the audience, there's no real theater moment in the let it happen organically, and it doesn't need to happen for a movie to be great either.
If anything, I'd say the Batmobile is that Marvel moment with everyone cheering.
Sure. The whole chase overall, I think. Yeah. I mean, we saw in the trailer that he was going to go through that explosion. I think the better part is how Penguin set it up.
Yeah.
How he set up the explosion, like just the way they filmed it from over his shoulder and then from behind the Batmobile really felt like a pursuit. Like, you felt like you were in the chase. I thought that was really well done too. And the over shoulder Penguin thing was track mounted filming too, or whatever you call it. The music is great. The score is fantastic. It was really well done. Everybody's themes were really well done. I could listen to that Nirvana song forever. And I will do it while I try to investigate murders in my city. But I'm not actually going to do that. So, more will I. I did see one TikTok that said, "Mom and Dad, I saw the Batman, and now I want to be the Batman when I grow up. So I'm sorry." And then he shoots them all. it's a little dark, and Batman wouldn't do that.
No.
They did make mention, or Batman made sure to mention, "I don't use guns, and we're not using guns." And then Gordon's like, "That's how you operate. I'm using my gun." I want to ask you about a particular scene in this movie when I think everybody in the theater thought Catwoman was about to die. And
When they're on top of
the scaffolding.
Yeah. I thought she was going to die too, or get shot.
Right. They have this moment. She came back. She saved him. Thought for sure she was going to get a knife in the back or something like that was going to happen. It was the perfect setup for that kind of moment that is usually done by people like Stephen King and Joss Whedon and all these other writers who like to hurt their fans and viewers. But she did get attacked, and she was about to be choked to death. And Batman had nothing left in him. He couldn't move. Until he injects himself in something he was prepared to. There's a hole in the suit for it. What do you think that was?
So the comic book guy in me says Venom.
Bane's Venom.
But I think it's adrenaline.
That's what I think too. The only thing that's weird about it is it's green.
It is green, and that's what Venom is in the comics and has.
Right.
Has been
I feel like if it had just been some vial, you know, like it just been like a glass vial, no coloring to it.
Well, I can. Was it in his hand? Did he do it in his hand?
No, it looked like it was in his leg.
Okay.
He opened a little pocket in his leg.
Yeah, it was. I could see it not. I could see why it's there and not in his chest, because body armor. It'd be pretty hard to stick a needle through. So, but yeah, no, I think it. Even adrenaline, I think, is a weird placement for that. But I'm going to say adrenaline until the director comes out and says, no, that's Venom.
I have no reason to believe it's that, other than like you said, the comic book guy in me.
Which there is. I mean, Batman has taken Venom before. It was a precursor to the Nightfall series, which is
it could be Bane. It could just all be this thing of this is how he's surviving being an insomniac.
Because even when he's Bruce and when he first wakes up after that night of being Batman, he's wearing glasses. He's wearing sunglasses in.
Wayne Tower. Yeah. He puts them on. Yeah. Right.
Look at it. And I'm like, oh, well, yeah, that makes sense. You're a nocturnal animal.
Yeah, the sun sucks, man.
No, yeah, it does.
All right, and then finally, before we wrap things up, Barry Keoghan, who was long since meant to be a police officer in the credits. That's all we were told he was going to be.
And there were set photos of him as a police officer.
Right, yes, talking to Robert Pattinson. at the funeral, I think. But no, in the credits, he's unseen Arkham prisoner who in the original script, Batman would visit in jail to get his insights into what the Riddler was doing, a la Silence of the Lambs with Clarice and Hannibal Lecter. But they cut that out, which I think is fine. I don't mind that. The less Joker we get now is fine. Just keep teasing him for all I care.
Set it up for the War of Jokes and Riddles.
Right. Which I feel like does not need to be the sequel. The second movie does not need to be a Joker movie. We don't need to use the same formula. In fact, I think Matt Reeves says if he can figure out a way to make it grounded, he wants to do a Mr. Freeze story.
That's grounded right there.
Mr. Freeze is not a grounded character.
Well,
it's a little fantastical for the world he's created so far.
So is a man dressed as a bat.
No, this is a man surviving with a glass helmet on his head. Come on. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't also mind it being a Poison Ivy movie. Because you're not probably going to have the Catwoman in the sequel. She's going to probably take a break, mm-hmm. And return at a different time, probably when Batman needs her the most, I would imagine. But when you, if you get into the War of Riddles and Jokes, that's when she returns, and then after that is when we get the wedding storyline, if I remember my Tom King chronological order.
I think, or it was Bruce talking to Selina about the War of Jokes and Riddles at that time.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. That's Tom King, right? That's not Snyder.
Yeah, no, that's Tom King.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, it's, it was at that DC Rebirth, or Universe Rebirth.
Right, right. If you haven't read any of these, check them out. The War of Riddles and Jokes is great. It's basically just Riddler and the Joker going to town on Gotham, kind of going back and forth.
Back and forth, and they both want Batman on their side.
Right. The other Easter egg was Hush, and that's Edward Elliott was a reporter that was blackmailing Thomas Wayne about the information he had about his wife and her being crazy and the family and everything like that. And it's clearly an Easter egg. So Hush is actually, I mean, I don't want to ruin it for you. The story is fantastic, mm-hmm. but Hush is actually Tommy Elliott. That's a lifelong childhood friend of Bruce Wayne, who it likely would not be if they did this version of Hush that they're doing now.
It wouldn't
make sense. When they show this picture of Eddie Elliott, I think.
Eddie Edward, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. When they show it, there's Hush written on it, and then obviously it's talking about Hush money, paying mm-hmm. this guy to be quiet, but it's clearly a nod. Whether it's a nod that they're going to pay off remains to be seen. This guy could blame Bruce for the death of his father, and he has this lifelong vengeance that he's going to commit on, which Hush would be a tough story to tell without doing it the way they did it in the books, with basically every villain in every main villain in Bruce's arsenal is after him at one point or another, because he's trying to narrow him down. He's trying to figure out who Hush is, mm-hmm. because Hush has so much knowledge of him. You know, they couldn't possibly be the resurgence of your best friend, Thomas Elliott, who just showed back up in town as this master surgeon. Can't possibly be him.
No.
World's greatest detective, but it's a great book. Go pick it up. Hush. Okay.
Greatest detective. All right.
Plus, it's the best artist, Jim Lee.
Jim Lee. Hush. Who wrote the book? Why am I thinking Frank Miller?
Oh no,
he did. No, that was All Star Batman and Robin.
Yeah, which is good. Yeah, with Jim Lee. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not Geoff Johns, is it? No.
It might be.
I'm looking at it. Right now, I just can't.
Jeff
Loeb. Okay.
Jeff Loeb, okay. Jim Lee, and Scott Williams did the
inking. Which makes sense, because this movie was took nods from The Long Halloween, and Jeff Loeb wrote that book with Tim Sale as the artist.
And then what's his name? Reeves said he listened to Nirvana the whole time he wrote it.
Yeah.
Which could make anybody go a little mad.
Yeah, I mean that song worked. I thought they were just going to keep it for the trailer. No, they kept it in the movie too.
Yeah, it fit. It was well done.
Did you see any shots from any of the trailers that didn't make it into the film?
I have to go back and look. I don't think so.
I think this is one of the very few movies where they've shown everything. From the trailers, everything made it into the movie.
Can you imagine this movie with Jonah Hill being either Riddler or Penguin?
God, no.
That's the original casting.
No. Maybe, was this for like Ben Affleck's Batman?
No.
Or for Matt Reeves?
This is for Matt Reeves.
No.
Matt Reeves was saying he was writing this for Pattinson.
Yes, he did have him in. He did have him in mind for it. Yeah, no, I can't. No, Jonah Hill. No. I mean, I liked Colin Farrell did great as the Penguin for what we needed in the movie. It's going to be a lot of work for this for the series for him to be Penguin, I think.
Yeah. Zoe Kravitz was turned down to be Catwoman in Batman Dark Knight Returns.
Really?
Said she was too urban. That doesn't age well.
Ooh, no, especially when Eartha Kent was a Catwoman.
And you recognize the one face painted gangster kid that was hesitant, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
okay, I was making sure because you didn't really react. I'm like,
oh no. I reacted. I think I pointed and you didn't.
Okay. I must not have seen you. Yeah.
No, I showed my friend that picture and a picture of him with Titans, and he's like, yeah. "Is that supposed to be Tim Drake?" I go, "It is Tim Drake."
Yeah, he filmed it a year before filming Titans.
Yeah. Well, see him in his Robin costume. Please, season 4.
Jeez. We don't have any confirmation of what the sequel is going to be. We don't have confirmation that there is going to be a sequel, but we can assume that that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, we are getting the Penguin series spinoff as well as the Arkham. Remains to be seen if we're going to get that, but that's announced as an option.
Mm-hmm.
That they're pursuing. Where do you see a sequel going? If you go by the comic books, there's a couple options.
I'm looking. No Man's Land would be probably my best guess, especially with what happened at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking. Battle for the Cowl is too much. Yeah, it has to be No Man's Land. Hush would be great, but again, you need all the villains. You need a Tommy Elliott. And you need that story to make sense within this movie series.
I feel like Hush would be its own trilogy.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. And for those that want the Joaquin Phoenix Joker to be part of this universe, just stop.
Please no.
Just is its own thing. Let's just leave that alone. I don't know. I don't want to begin speculating yet. I just want to enjoy it now.
Mm-hmm.
To be perfectly honest, could be a lot of things, but yeah, right now I just want to enjoy where we are in the moment. So yes, that is our review. What did you guys think? Let us know in the comments. Let us know on social media at Atomic Geekdom on all the social medias. You can find us. We are on TikTok now. I don't know if I'll have any TikToks from this podcast, but going forward in the future, we're going to cut some of these up a little bit and have some fun with TikTok eventually. And hopefully we'll be able to make TikToks once we start going to conventions and stuff again. We'll be able to do some cool, fun stuff from there. Kyle, if people want to find you or you have things to plug, all that stuff.
You can follow me on Twitch at twitch.tv/kcrousey89. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram at KyleCrousey89. My YouTube, where I've been posting my YouTube vids from... Ooh, that's not me. From Batcraft. My channel. Here it is. It is just youtube.com/Kyle Krause, apparently. So that's that. There we go.
There you go. All right. We will be back next week, I believe. I don't know what we'll be talking about, or it might just be a geek out. I do have some feelers out for an interview or two. So maybe we'll do that. But right now, there's that. Things are crazy in the world. Stop fighting with each other. Just start understanding each other more. It's even crazier than it has been. We thought 2020 and 2021 were bad. Now we're in a war. So keep the Ukrainian people in your thoughts and minds as things progress. Stop, kind of bitching about gas prices. It's going to suck for a while. But this happens. It's not the first time we've gone through this. Yes, it's higher than it's ever been, but we'll survive. Maybe we don't go for that drive to somewhere and we stay home instead. You know, make a little bit of sacrifices. We've done it in the past. We'll do it again.
Mm-hmm.
The main focus right now is that people are being kicked out of their homes. They're dying. These kinds of things. So just kind of keep thinking about that and enjoy your life too, as best you can. Even if you have to stay home instead of going out, do something that is fun, play a video game, watch a movie, read a book, spend time with your animals or your children's, who could also be considered animals. But you know, have some fun, find some joy in your day. I'm going to try to do that as soon as I hang this phone call up, this podcast, I'm going to make some comfort food and relax and watch more of The Wheel of Time. I think it's called.
That's yep. Yep. That's,
I'm on episode three of that. I'm enjoying that. I'm also watching Enterprise, trying to get caught up on that. I'm on season four of that.
Of Star Trek Enterprise? With
Discovery, sorry.
Oh, Discovery.
Yes, I'm going to get caught up on Discovery. I want to watch Picard, but I really wanted to watch TNG first, but I can't get through the first season of TNG. It's so hard.
I'm sure there's guides out there that just tell you the episodes that you need to watch. I
know, but I went through DS9 and I went through Voyager, and I had such a good time watching all those shows. Mm-hmm. And then I get to TNG and I'm like, first season is so hard because they just could not find their footing. And I get it. It's hard. It's, mm-hmm. it's their first attempt after Kirk and all that. So it's like, it's tough. Very different captain, very different crew, all that, you know, all that stuff. So like, I get it. And even I think the beginning of season two is tough too.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I don't know. I might just start Picard because I really want to see how, on why he's hanging out with Seven of Nine and all that stuff.
Oh, you haven't even watched the first season.
No, I haven't. I mean, no. I remember being at Comic-Con when they were first announcing it and seeing all the Picard banners and stuff everywhere.
Oh, well, you're in for a ride. I can tell you that much.
Yeah, I mean, spoilers for Discovery if you haven't gotten to season four. I kind of felt like they were going to go to the future.
Season three?
That's the end of season three.
That's the end of season two.
No, it's the end of season three, I think.
I don't know. End of season two, they go to the future. They go into the wormhole. Beginning of season three is where they're in the 31st century.
So then there's only four seasons out?
Yep, fourth season is the current one right now.
Okay. Well, then there you go. Whatever. So beginning of season three, I'm on episode three.
Okay.
Directed by Jonathan Franks.
Ah, yes.
Your worlds are colliding. Yeah, I knew that they would end up in the future. I kind of figured they'd be displaced, but it's only a year. I thought she'd be apart from them longer. I thought they revealed that.
Yeah.
The two-parter is separated by episodes, several episodes. So the hope is you is the premiere, part one, and the hope is you part two. I'm assuming they're gonna talk about the year that we missed. Potentially in those two episodes, I'm guessing anyway. I'm enjoying a lot of these characters, and by the time I get done with season three, season four will be all available for me.
Yep.
And then I can watch Picard, and then I'll be ready for Strange New Worlds. Yeah. With Rebecca Romijn is number one. Right? It's called number one.
Yep. She's number one.
Yeah, good stuff. Star Trek. I did think it was funny when they announced a bunch of Paramount stuff that the cast of Star Trek, the movies, didn't even know they were making another one.
Yeah, that was fun.
That's kind of new. Right. Oh, Strange New Worlds has a second season already. It hasn't even aired the first season, but all right.
Well, I mean, Picard got a third season after the first one. So it got two seasons.
So this is their current slate of shows. Star Trek Prodigy, which is looks like Janeway.
Yeah, it's got Janeway as like a hologram.
Oh, okay. And Discovery, Picard, Strange New Worlds, and then Lower Decks, which I watched the first episode of Lower Decks. I think it's pretty funny. I don't mind that. What is this? Oh, okay. So it's scheduled for the next 6 months of... Let's see. So where are we? We're on March 10th. Discovery season 4 episode 12 and Picard episode 2 season 2. And next week is the finale of Discovery. And on the same day as the finale of Picard is the premiere of Strange New Worlds.
Yeah.
And that Fish. Oh, they're doing five seasons. Okay, they already got approved for the fifth season, Discovery, which will be in 2023 of 10 episodes. Prodigy season 1.5. Why?
I don't know.
All right, we'll be back soon. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching along live. If you were here, sorry for my lack of energy. I am, like I say, very tired and not in the greatest of moods, but The Batman is great. Go watch it, enjoy it. Most people, I'd say like 90% of people are enjoying it. And if you're more of a Marvel guy than a DC guy, you know, that's fine. Stay in your lane and let those people who enjoy this enjoy it. And you enjoy yours. And yeah. My Twitch is twitch.tv/DJClark21. I am going to be starting Elden Ring very soon. I want to be able to sit down and just play it with no distractions. And I also want to get past the create a character portion off stream, because that can take forever. So I want to do that first, probably Friday after work, and then we'll stream it Saturday, I think. But yeah, we're going to do that. And then I am not getting WWE 2K22.
Because, oh, why not? It looks so good.
It looks good. But the reviews I'm seeing say it's not much different than 19.
Yeah, there was,
but better than 20. Yeah, but better than 20 today. Oh, there you go. Yeah, I watch a guy who does the superstar career mode thing, so I'll just, you know, figure I'll see the cutscenes from that. Mm-hmm. And he's going the route I would, which is heel route, so I will not be doing that this time around. I'm hoping they get it together soon. I was real hopeful because they had a pretty good announcement of things that they're adding, like the GM mode got revamped and all that good stuff, but like, I don't know. It's not enough for me to buy just to play the NWO and Rey Mysterio things, yeah, which are fun. I like those modes, but I think the Undertaker has one too, or is it just, maybe it's just character skins. Yeah. So yeah. What else? That's all. All right. I need to get some energy. I haven't eaten all day. It's time to eat. And you guys all take care of each other. Be good. Thanks for stopping by, Kyle. Say goodbye.